Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
Well, it's 88 day, Friday, August 8, 2025, or 8-8-25. Okay, so what's that about? I'll tell you in a minute. Will the bear heal? Putin reaches out. Trump agrees to meet. Update on progress and prophetic implications. Gaza and Benjamin. Will Israel occupy Gaza? Benjamin wants Hamas out and a new Arab government to step in and give Gaza a government that will encourage peace and prosperity for all. Tariffs go into effect today. All the non-negotiated reciprocal tariffs go into effect. So we'll see what goes on, although many have already been in effect, and we haven't seen the world fall apart. The world is waking. A worldwide movement toward truth is a precursor for revival. Clarissa Rippey worked inside the U.S. Government Services Administration, GSA, under Biden-Harris as a contract specialist. She noticed a contract for $347 million to a transportation company responsible for, quote, transporting unaccompanied minors across the United States, end quote. You can see her interview here in this link with O'Keefe. Now, you've got to be kidding me. DNI Gabbard reveals documents that show Obama authorized a covert assassination attempt on Trump? Really? Now, I've not seen any presser on this one. I couldn't find any corroborating documentation anywhere. I mean, beyond a TikTok stream of a guy reading some unidentified source document. I really don't appreciate people doing that kind of thing. You should tell us where you're getting your information. The problem is, it wouldn't surprise me. And as Rush used to say, that's the news here, that it doesn't surprise us. I mean, it doesn't even sound extreme to many of you hearing this right now. So any guy afraid to reveal his source to me, I don't think should be trusted with the information he's given me. I cannot corroborate it. If DNI Gabbard actually said something like this, we would certainly have heard about it. But yeah, keep your ear on the tracks, friend, because who knows what's coming down. Alex Jones invited Kyle Serafin, former FBI, to reveal that Cash Patel's pilot previously worked on Jack Smith's team and was apparently a very loyal guy. And this is the guy who tried to convict Trump on bogus charges that Trump instigated an insurrection on J6. And that Trump mishandled classified documents after he left office, you know, like leaving them in a garage next to his Corvette. No, wait a minute. No, that was Biden. But anyway, but this is the guy who's flying our director of the FBI about? Okay, my friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Well, it's 8-8 day. I don't know if you remember this. Frank Filuzzi, former FBI assistant director for counterintelligence, went on Legacy Media back in the day in 2019 to imply Trump's order for the flag to be lowered to half-mast until August 8, 2019. Remember that? To honor victims of a mass shooting in El Paso and Dayton. That he suggests this was a symbolic message to white supremacists everywhere, because everybody knows the number 88 translates into a double H, because it's the eighth letter of our alphabet, you know, H. Anyway, so 88, that's HH. And it stands for Heil Hitler, right? The liberals are quick to point out Filuzzi provided a caveat disclaimer that he wasn't saying that Trump was purposely sending a message to white supremacists. If you think that, by the way, you don't understand libspeak, because that was certainly the takeaway of, well, I don't know, virtually all progressive-minded liberals who do understand libspeak. It's how they lie. It's how they plant something in weak minds. They say, I'm not going to imply, while the entire exercise is designed to plant the implication. Back in the Bongino days, doing his radio thing, he playfully referred to Filuzzi as Fugazi. Now, I've heard some say it's Italian for fake or phony. Maybe in the parlance of some Italianos in New York or something, but for the record, the Italian expressions, for fake or phony are falso and finto. Fake news in Italian is notizia falsa. The nearest that fugazi comes to any Italian word would be fugace, but that word means fleeting. The most likely source for this word fugazi that Bongino used is probably the theory that it's an acronym constructed from a phrase that was used in Nam. It's effed up, got ambushed, zipped in, fugazi. It was popularized, sort of, in a book by Mark Baker titled Nam, where this expression was used. Anyway, the bottom line is fugazi is used as a slang expression for something fake or inauthentic, and that's particularly in New York and New Jersey. So now you know. Anyway, it's August 8th, which means it's 8-8, and everybody knows H is the eighth letter of our alphabet. So according to Filuzzi, it represents HH, which all supremacists know is code for Heil Hitler. He knew, so, huh. Anyway, what a moronic. The Hebrew word tsar is found 109 times in the Bible, 40 times in the Psalms, 13 times in Isaiah, and 10 times in Lamentations. And it just so happens that if you take the letters of Filuzzi's name, it adds up to 109. It's almost always a reference to an adversary or a foe, the enemy. It has specific reference to Satan and Psalm 107:2 and 107 plus 2 is 109. So you can see this guy's name, Filuzzi, it means enemy of God, right? In Daniel's vision of the four beasts, Daniel used a bear to represent the Medes and the Persians, which is modern-day Russia and Iran. It's in Daniel 7. The bear rises from the troubled sea, which represents the masses of humanity, and it rises up on one side higher than the other, holding three picked clean talking ribs in its teeth. And the ribs are saying, rise up, devour much flesh. We know all four of these beasts in Daniel 7 are in place contemporaneously when Little Horn rises to power on the fourth beast. Now that's the fourth kingdom that is present right now, by the way. The fourth kingdom came into power at the time Christ came into the world. He conquered Satan, the prince of this world, and took command over all the kingdoms of the earth, which were at that time, according to Satan and affirmed by Jesus, in the hands of Satan, given to him. So Satan defeated the prince of the world, kicked him out, and now Jesus is prince over all the kings of the earth, according to Revelation 1 verse 5. Now, it's the present kingdom of Christ into which all today are translated who confess Jesus is Lord and believe he arose from the dead. And these are made by Christ to be kings and priests unto God, Revelation 1 6. He commissioned us to be his ambassadors, according to the Bible, to this world, declaring his terms of surrender to the world in order to be saved from the wrath of the Lamb that's coming. He organized his ecclesia, the word he used to identify his church, to represent him here on earth while he's in heaven, awaiting the signal to come and gather us out of the world in preparation for his return with us to the earth to begin his judgment. His ecclesia, aka the church, has the keys of the kingdom with the power to bind and loose. Most churches don't bother with all that, though. We do, but very few. While we are present and have some savor to our salt, we will resist the rise of the Antichrist in the fourth kingdom. But when we are taken out of the world, well, then the Antichrist will rise. Now, here's the point. We observe geopolitical developments in Iraq, which is represented by the first beast. Russia and Iran, the second beast, the old Alexandrian Empire comprising Greece, Turkey, Lebanon, Syria, and Egypt, and then the fourth beast, which represents the Western powers. Jesus said that during this time, he would give the kingdom, that is the time we live in now, the time of the fourth kingdom, that he would give the kingdom to the nation bringing forth the fruit of it, Matthew 21:43. And right now, it's being held by the United States of America, founded upon the Bible and upon the truth that Jesus Christ is King. And the present administration moved into power on that declaration. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in the believer holds down these beasts, frustrating the prince of the power of the air, Satan, and his children of disobedience who are trying to bring the geopolitical world into the alignment necessary for the prophecy of the rise of Antichrist to be fulfilled. So they keep pushing for this one world government ruled by Satan through the man of sin in a global dictatorship. We watch these beasts, Iraq, Russia, Iran, the Middle East with Greece and Egypt, and then the West. And we can see that whenever his church weakens, the spirit of his kingdom loses influence and the world begins shaping up toward the rise of Antichrist. That's what happens. And man, we were moving in that direction here a while back. Right now, however, happily, the spirit of Jesus Christ, which is the spirit of liberty, is pushing back on the spirit of Antichrist, which is the spirit of tyranny. And we're moving from the lie in the direction of truth. So it's significant that the bear began to rise up and assert its power back when we were all under the cloud of lies. And it began devouring nations around it. But now that Trump is reviving America as founded, Putin reaches out, the bear begins to retreat and to submerge. Trump agrees to meet, but it's clear that America is leading the world once again. Significant movement in Israel and Gaza is also full of prophetic significance. Will Israel occupy Gaza? Netanyahu wants Hamas out and a new Arab government to move in and rule Gaza in peace and prosperity. Israel's security cabinet has approved plans to take over Gaza City, significantly expanding military operations in the Palestinian enclave. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu reportedly intends to occupy all of Gaza, forcing Palestinian civilians into displacement camps further south. And this announcement has drawn strong international criticism, including calls from the UN and some European governments to halt the expansion, citing humanitarian concerns. And this I got from an AI search on the question. Yeah, I got a lot to say about AI, but we'll have to save it for Saturday night. The humanitarian concerns are exactly what Israel is trying to address. Let's start with October 7, shall we? The humanitarian abuse, the human rights atrocities that culminated in that wicked attack on Israel. And then let's continue with Israel's incredible restraint and going so far out of its way to protect innocent human lives while establishing peace for not only Israelis, but also for Gazans oppressed by the wicked Hamas Islamo-fascist, extending Iran's wicked policy to wipe out Israel, to exterminate, to drive Israel from the river to the sea. Where have you heard that before? These nations should have pestilent, now these nations who are trying to tell Israel to back off, quit, shut up. These nations should have pestilent neighbors who are lobbing rockets into their communities incessantly and attacking them with vicious, rabid, dog-like behavior and calling for them to be pushed off the map and all this junk. You should live with that. Let them live with it for one day and see what happens. The humanitarian concerns are exactly what Israel is concerned about, which is why they have called on neutral observers to move into Gaza and put their eyes on what's really happening on the ground in Gaza, unfiltered by the lying, deceiving, wicked leaders and servants of Hamas. Oh, I gotta stop. I've come up against my time for this segment. Let's take a break. Hold on, my friends.
Most believe Satan owns the world and has the right to rule it. They think Christians should leave politics to unbelievers, that believers have no place in government. Well, Christians, how's that working for you? You see, the fact is Satan has fed you a lie. Satan depends on Christians staying in the dark about the fact that Jesus Christ defeated him, and Satan has no right to rule one square inch of territory on this planet. Learn the truth. It will set you free. Go to GodsWar2020.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain bazoor, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. The world is waking. A worldwide movement toward truth is a precursor for revival. Any movement of any culture from lies to the truth is a movement from Satan, the father of lies, to Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The world is divided between truthers and liars. Why do modern progressives love the lie? Participation trophies give a false feeling of accomplishment, which removes the incentive to excel, while recognition of excellence based entirely on actual performance is minimized, even criticized, and dismissed. To award non-excellence is a lie. To refuse to reward excellence is a lie. Here you go. Big and Fat Lizzo, remember, presented as a representation of beauty and genes. What a joke. Which is an obvious lie. And no one freaks out. The left does not freak out because, well, they like lies. Lies are what their worldview is made of. Fat Lizzo and jeans being hailed as a beauty, what's a lie? And so it fits comfortably into their worldview. The truth is, it's not beauty. It's unhealthy. It's actually disgusting. The left delights in promoting ugly, unhealthy, and disgusting things that are contrary to nature. Homosexuality is an example of that. The left, generally speaking, by the way, not every individual that identifies with the left or with its ideology, but nevertheless, virtually everything the left promotes is a lie, and it's bad for you. It's bad for peace, bad for liberty, bad for justice, bad for righteousness. Conservatives don't flip out over the Lizzo lie because, well, it doesn't threaten them. Their worldview is constructed on a solid foundation of truth. It's unshakable. The lie, well, yeah, it's different. It's like sand. It's very easily disturbed. Just a little puff of air will disrupt it. Achievement and beauty demand discipline, work, and building on God-given talents. Ugly, unhealthy, fat, and lazy, well, that doesn't require any work, no discipline, no effort. The left wants to reward the lazy. Conservatives want to recognize and reward excellence. Both sides get what they want. Conservatism gets excellence, promotes it, encourages it. Democrats get stupid, lazy, good-for-nothing freeloaders. So the left likes lies, for example, like the constant lying that goes on against Israel. Israel brings literally tons of food and supplies to help the devastated Gazans. And Hamas says the Israelites or the Israelis are responsible for the misery in Gaza. What a bunch of nonsense. They're responsible for it. Everybody knows that if you paid attention. The left laps it up, though, because, well, they like lies. Hamas co-opts the food and the supplies and keeps them from landing in the hands and the bellies and so on of the people of Gaza. The left ignores all that, chooses to believe Hamas's lies. Hamas takes staged pictures, uses them to promote their lie. The left devours these lies because they like them. The lie reinforces their worldview that's constructed entirely out of lies or distortions. It's easy for people grounded in truth to see the lie. October 7, all by itself, stamps the truth over each side of this conflict. Over the Hamas side, the stamp says lie. Over the Israeli side, the stamp says truth. Hamas brutally invaded Israel, killing, raping, stealing hostages, but the left are more comfortable with lies than they are with the truth, which is the opposite for conservatives. The people who raped, murdered, and stole hostages, who continue to keep those hostages, they don't have any credibility. Each of these things is consistent with lies. Murder, rape, taking hostages, all lie, lie, lie. Only those whose worldview is founded and constructed upon lies can accept what Hamas is saying. Only the lovers of the lie can believe what Epstein said he did to the girls Ghislaine provided and refused to listen to the victims. Now, if a liar is angling for something, well, they might be compelled to tell the truth in order to get it. Ghislaine, well, she can't lie to get some favored treatment because if it's discovered, the deal she made is off. The only time you can believe a liar is when they have to tell the truth. But you can safely believe a consistent truth doer because, well, they have a history of fidelity to the truth. And as the Bible puts it, they walk in truth. If it turns out they lied in some particular moment, that's an anomaly. Out of character, not the norm. When modern progressives lie, they're doing the normal thing. They're doing what's comfortable to them. because they are comfortable lying and they are actually uncomfortable with the truth. But people are waking up to the truth and moving toward it, which necessarily involves leaving the lies. Now check out what's happening in the UK. The lie that the right thing to do is to accommodate a guest to the point of offending the entire family, well, has itself become a threat to the family. Now, the guests are taking over the house, imposing an oppressive rule over the family, and exalting the laws and customs of a foreign culture, displacing the laws and cultural norms of the family. But the Brits have had enough. According to the British Patriot, at the Brit Lad, quote, the UK braces for nationwide protests tomorrow, with over 20 confirmed locations taking to immigrant hotels. That last phrase, taking to whatever. They're going to the hotels that have been set aside to be used for the migrants. Anyway, he lists 23 of these locations and concludes, quote, it's important everyone remains peaceful to send a strong message. Violence will not achieve anything, end quote. You see, the wicked use violence and force to get their way. But the righteous, they don't believe in violence and using force to get their way. Now, here's a link to the locations in case you want to check them out. Now, look at the source saying 220,000 Brits, citizens of the UK, have signed a petition calling for an immediate election. They want to finish Starmer. Just get him out of there. However, upon researching this for documentation support, I found that actually it's 443,568 signatures have actually been added to this petition. Wow. This UK government and parliament site, it's an official .gov type site there for the Brits where they could communicate their concerns to their government. It's called Petitions. Any petition that receives more than 100,000 signatures will be considered for a debate in parliament. Oops, the number just went up. Now it's 443,668, and it's climbing. Yeah, boom, just went to 443,722. Well, we can't be watching that all day. The deadline for the government to respond is December this year. A biblical view of immigration summarized. Strangers are to be treated with kindness. However, strangers were expected to honor the traditions and laws of Israel, of the land. They were expected to obey the laws of the government of Israel. And if they broke those laws, they were to be prosecuted according to Israel's law, not the law or culture from which they came. Yeah, that's what the Bible says, by the way. And this is a mercy. Because you see, if we prosecuted Islamists for entering our land illegally and promoting their religious beliefs in our land, well, if we did it according to their laws and their culture, we would behead them in their front yards. Now, we don't do that to people who preach contrary to our beliefs, but they do. And the most we'll do to you if you're here illegally is send you home. What happens when these people resist arrest or flee from the laws? Well, that's what we would do with anyone who in this country, even a citizen, resisted arrest or fled from the law. Except in the case of an illegal, we'll catch you and send you home. Child trafficking update. Clarissa Rippey worked inside the Government Services Administration for the United States under Biden-Harris as a contract specialist. She noticed a contract come across her desk for $347 million to an NGO responsible for transporting unaccompanied minors across the United States. You can see her interview here with O'Keefe. In the documentary, Lying in the Sand, some NGOs involved in child trafficking were identified, and Rippey saw that some were contracted with the GSA. Watch Line in the Sand. Each contract, she said, was to move 1,000 children in a 24-hour period, and there were multiple contracts. So where are the records documenting where these children were being taken? Where are those records? You hearing me? Here's the thing. Listen, they don't have records documenting where these children were taken. Alex Jones invited Kyle Serafin, former FBI, to reveal the Cash Patel's pilot previously worked on Jack Smith's team. You know Jack Smith, the guy that tried to convict Trump on bogus charges. That's the Jack Smith we're talking about. The man piloting Patel's plane worked for Jack Smith in the Mar-a-Lago raid. Kyle was advising Patel up until Patel was confirmed. And after that, apparently, the tone that was used here suggests that Kyle was cut off. Patel either personally or officially monitors Kyle's podcast, and so picked up on this story where he revealed that his pilot was an operative for the enemy in the Biden-Kamala government. So Kyle used a contact to communicate a message to Trump. The pilot, who is flying Kash Patel, was the case agent on the Mar-a-Lago case. So the scuttlebutt is this, that Kash ordered the pilot to be fired. Kash was told, you can't do that because he's a veteran. Kash said, I want him fired anyway. And then the bomb dropped. Quote, do you really want to fire the guy who spent 7 months listening to your conversations and flying around in a private jet with you, end quote? Now, right there, that would be, not only is he fired, but the guy that just told me that would be fired too. Was that an implied threat? Well, it is a threat. You'd have to assess it to know for sure if he was just trying to help Patel, but that you don't need that kind of help. Is Kyle eating sour grapes and spitting out bitter seeds? Maybe. I don't know. I can't find anything to corroborate his story. And the only thing that gives it some credibility is the fact that Alex Jones is listening to it and passing it on to us. All right, I got to wrap it up. I struggle to keep up with the news these days at a 28-minute broadcast that comes out once a week. Used to be able to do it. It's just impossible. I've added a Brain Massage Live podcast, and it airs on Saturday, Tuesday, and Thursday night on Rumble, X, Facebook, and LinkedIn. We're going to add some more later. I try to go on at about 7 p.m., but it all depends on how my day rolls out. If you want to be notified in advance when I go and I podcast the Brain Massage Live, go to brainmassage.net, use the subscribe button, and include live in the message. So then you'll receive in your inbox on Friday nights the new show that's posted, and then you'll be put on a list to be contacted with a notification for each Brain Massage Live podcast before I go live. I've lit the lamps to the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. You can email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net, and send me an email. You can contact me by phone. Call 1-805-314-2114. And again, that's 1-805-314-2114. And do give me a call. I love to hear from you, and we'll talk to you if you want to call and say, please call me back. I'll be glad to do that. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. I'm in my pulpit this Sunday, and I'm looking forward to meeting you.